Now, what is your response to David Small, who has come out today and said that the police acted in a draconian manner and basically compromised freedoms of the people that were arrested yesterday?
Well, I'd respond to that by saying that that's wide of the mark. Police have acted, in our view, responsibly and in line with the interests of public safety. We have been running an operation for some time, as you'll be aware from other media commentary, and we've been gathering evidence over a sustained period, which to us and to the legal advisers who have been advising us point to unlawful activity in circumstances which give rise to concern for significant risk. We have acted in accordance with the law. We've gone and got search warrants on legal advice that these needed to cover both the Arms Act and the Terrorism Suppression Act, and we have executed them in a responsible way. We have been acting under a direction from the Commissioner that we can make arrests under the Arms Act, but we shall not arrest for offences under the Terrorism Suppression Act in order for the evidence to be assessed as to whether there is sufficient basis to go to the Solicitor General for a consent to proceed.
I'd like to take a little bit of a step back to when this all began. Can you tell us a little bit about what kicked off this turn of events?
Well, I can't talk specifics, obviously,
because
they're going to matters that are both operational and indeed relate to matters before the courts. But we began the operation in earnest, really, towards the end of last year. And we have been observing the activities of people in relation to a series of training camps in a number of locations in the Eastern Bay of Plenty. And over time, the activities that have been taking place in these camps has given cause for serious concern. We have seen people training in military-style tactics, using real firearms with real bullets and other forms of weapons. And combined with other evidence that I'm not prepared to go into, we confronted here a matter of serious risk in our view, and we have moved to disrupt that that line of activity. We have placed people before the courts. We have had evidence of offences under the Arms Act, and they'll now take their course in the justice system. That'll be all the checks and balances that are available there. Are available to the people who have been charged. We'll take whatever time is necessary to assess whether offences should be taken or evidence should be taken forward to the Solicitor General. So there's another check and balance in that system too to see whether we've used the Act appropriately.
There was a report this morning that 3 months ago, some two hunters who were in the Urawaras encountered a group of armed men that were apparently quite hostile towards them. Was that a strong factor in spurring the police into taking action?
I'm not going to comment on that specifically, but I would say that in the course of our investigation, we have identified a number of witnesses, and there are still witnesses yet to be spoken to, and they will collectively form our case for the prosecution of where charges are taken. So it's not really available to me to comment on specifics in relation to the cases. So I can't really comment further in that regard.
Now, most of us will have seen the dramatic footage yesterday of the police breaking into a Wellington property. Just speaking in general terms, what is the protocol for allowing media, or in fact anybody at all, into the vicinity when a raid like that is being conducted?
Look, I'm pleased you raised that, because there is a perception out there that was somehow or other contrived in conjunction with the media. Nothing could be further from the truth. There happened to be a TV station which has a building nearby to the premises that we were executing the search warrant on. I think, as I understand it, an employee from that TV station happened to see us preparing to execute the warrant. And indeed it was a cameraman, I believe. And that cameraman took the initiative to set his camera running as we were doing our entry to the premises to execute the warrant. It was nothing to do with us. We had no idea that he was going to be present. Clearly, we're not in a position to stop him from filming. So that coverage came out, and it was, as far as we're concerned, it was simply happenstance.
What kind of precautions do the police take in terms of securing the surrounding area of a property? I mean, obviously you were under the impression that there might be some firearms in there, so...
Yes, it depends. We are dealing here with people who had access to firearms and ammunition, and in fact other weapons, so we were taking precautions. But those precautions depended on the circumstances of the individuals and the information that we had available about where, for example, firearms or ammunition might be stored. So I'm not going to talk about the specifics of that particular site, but other, you know, with respect to other sites, we had NSTG and AOS contingent available in the near vicinity.
Sorry, could you just explain the STG?
Oh, these are the tactical units, our armed units, the Armed Defenders Squad and the Special Tactics Group. We had units of those groups available in case matters escalated beyond the ability of our normal staff to control.
How do you feel about those images being broadcast on national television?
I have no particular concern about that. Search warrants are routinely conducted by police in the course of their duties. We would execute thousands of them in a year. Occasionally we cannot get access, and occasionally we have to cause a forced entry by breaking a window or some such. So we take along with us equipment to carry that out. Sometimes people will come to the door immediately and others will not. Sometimes people will seek to do away with evidence and expecting us to wait at the door until they come to open it. You know, I'm not going to talk specifically about the one yesterday you're referring to, but to give you an idea, this is to give you an idea about some of the thinking that goes on in the police planning for executing a search warrant. You know, it's sometimes you don't know what you're going to find. People react in different ways. We're not going to be hanging about in certain circumstances waiting for someone to, you know, to take their time to get up and get dressed and so on and come to the door. We have to take balance up risks to staff safety, security of the evidence and so on, and deciding whether we'll go in.
And just finally, Mr. White, are you able to confirm for us at all that any of the people arrested yesterday were ex-SAS members?
No, I can't comment on that. I'm not aware of any, certainly I was asked before as to whether there was any serving Defence Force personnel. Certainly not aware of that. But as to longer-term origins of some of the people arrested, I can't comment on that. And, of course, it would be not appropriate for me to do so, given that they're now before the court.